And it gives me a great deal of pleasure to bring in somebody that I've not talked to in probably 35 years. She is now residing, enjoying retirement down in Carlisle, Illinois. She is Olga Zebrin Kramer Reeves. And Olga, thanks for coming in to visit, because I've missed you.
Oh, John, I've missed you too. It's been too long.
It has, and I've been telling people for days about remembering when you were the Macoupin County reporter. You did so much more than news. You were all over the place. You were like Tobin in the last few years, doing virtually every special event in Macoupin County. You were everywhere.
Yes, I was. And that's what made it so fun, so worthwhile. We served mid-Illinois. We served Macoupin County for sure.
One of the things that I remember is all the times that you were, I guess the Macoupin County Fair for about, 8 days every year, that was your home. You were there from morning till night, hanging out in that Bates building. You probably judged more beautiful babies and stuff. And I don't know how many sheep you sheared, but you did everything.
Well, you know, a few years back, they had in the local newspaper 25 years ago, and I forgot I was in the pie-eating contest at the Macoupin County Fair. I had to read that in the paper.
Oh, my.
I came in second place, so.
Did Brad win? Because I know you had more events with Brad McVeigh, I think, than anybody. You guys were just thick as thieves all over that fair, weren't you?
Yes, we were. And, oh, my goodness, I started with Randy Miller. He showed me the ropes. That's when we did the Queen Contest live. And then, Tim Tarter, he and I had a ball. Bob Straub, it was so much fun. And we couldn't have done it without my dear friend, Paula Robinson, and Alice Tosberg. They were just super with getting us information.
You know, I remember not only the fair, but also I remember election nights. An election night coverage back when you were there, and it wasn't all that many years ago, but long before the days of the internet, you were at the courthouse and sticking around all night and watching that big board and reporting the election results and waiting so late. We went long in those days, didn't we?
We sure did. And, you know, those are some of the best times. And people today are missing that. We used to hang out at the courthouse and interview the candidates, the winners, the losers. We had updates all the time. Every half hour, we had an update. And the courthouse people, well, especially John Sirocco, he was so cooperative about getting us those results. I had every election day, I get a text from my friend, Becky, she was Becky Merrill back then. She worked for the Macoupin County Inquirer back when there were two newspapers in Garlandville. And she and I had so much fun, and every election day we'll text each other and say, relive the memories of the election. One night when we were on the air all night long, it was Al Whitler versus, I think, Phil Brown for circuit clerk, and something happened with the vote counting machine. And they said, we'll just keep going. Everybody else went home from Bond County and Montgomery County. And the person on the board said, well, just keep going. Just keep giving us a report every so often. And I was with Bob Straub. And we We were on all night long, and we got a little crazy at 3 o'clock. You haven't had any sleep. You're tired and goofy, and there's no changes in the results. And it was fun, though. We didn't. Oh. I don't know how much information we brought people because we didn't have new returns. But, like, at 6 o'clock, everybody started coming into the station and at Litchfield. And here we are, still broadcasting. There's no change.
The funny thing is, as I remember, Macoupin County, this is in the days when we didn't get new election, tabulating machines. And, of course, using the paper ballots and counting. And then the machines would break down. There was always breakdowns, weren't there, in Macoupin County?
Yes, it was. But they were so great. And if we were over at the courthouse, we could interview them and say, what's going on? And they were just a great crew to work with. And I got to say, our county treasurer, Michael Allen Zippy, at the time, he had the best food.
Oh.
He could go to his office and, oh, my goodness, all the dips and chips. And he had the best food. That was one of the treats.
I think that's one of the things that people in the news business miss today is the food. Because you're right. Every office holder, they usually got together in their office and their supporters were around. And you could really make the rounds. You could probably gain 5 pounds just on election night.
Easily. Very easily.
And these poor people today... Today, with COVID and sitting at home trying to gather reports and watching the internet, it's just not the same. It was not near as much fun, I'm sure. And yet, the job still had to be done.
Oh, yes. Yes, it did. Rain or shine, whether you were sick or felt good. I remember one time I had, on the election night, I had laryngitis. And I could barely speak, but I still had to work. And I remember people were calling in, pulling for me to survive election night.
Oh, I can believe that. We got a lot more to talk about. I'm going to take a break and read the weather here. And then I want you to think a little bit about some of the newsmakers that you had the best relationship with, and then maybe some of the newsmakers that maybe got a little testy with you a time or two, although I doubt that many got testy with you.
Oh, my.
Certainly, Olga, I had forgotten. Who was the sheriff when you were there and doing the news?
Well, when I started, it was Ricky Czar from Bunnell.
Right.
And he was great. We had Herb Hoover. We had Jim Zirkelback. Oh, I loved him. Well, actually, I really had a good relationship with all of them. Sheriff Czar used to give my son Jason a silver dollar every time he saw them, they saw each other. So Jason really liked him.
I'll bet.
And he was so, my dad grew up in Bunnell, and so, I was familiar with Bunnell, and that's where Sheriff Czar was from. As a matter of fact, my grandmother had a dry goods store in Bunnell back in the long time ago. And Sheriff Czar said that he would not have had shoes or socks or a lot of stuff if my grandmother hadn't given his parents credit at the store. So we had a good relationship. He was very thankful, and he was always good to me as far as information, giving out information. We also had to know all of the police chiefs in the county and state police. That was my first call, usually, was to state police in the morning. There was a man named Butch Scheller. And there was a woman named Evan L. Williams. And, I mean, that's going way back. They were very, very helpful with getting news and information. John, one thing I wanted to ask you, I know Carlinville is a satellite studio, and over the years, people used to come in and they'd say, where's Pete Baum? Is Terry Toth here? And where are all the records? And they didn't get the concept of the satellite studio. And I know the studio was at Blackburn College at one point. Where were some of the other ones? I mean,
I believe, you know? if it started out at Blackburn, when the first move would have been to the office on the square where it is now. Now, Brian would have to answer that one, and he may text me if I'm wrong. But as long as I've been around, and I started in 1972, I believe you remember me speaking to your class at Lewis and Clark. And I think that might have been part of the reason why you came to WSMI. But because I think you told me that, and you've probably forgotten that, but maybe you were just trying to make me feel good. But that was a long time ago. I think, though, that the station has always had the studio on the square in Carlinville, at least since 1972, and that may have been the move directly from Blackburn.
Okay, well, I do remember hearing of the shooting at the DCFS office above Burke Pharmacy in 1968. And there was a gentleman doing news and sales for WSMI up there, and he hid under his desk, which I was right there with him, when a man was shooting at his family. That was very sad. Yeah,
that was Don Jones. That was Don Jones.
Was it? Okay.
Yes. Don Jones was a news director before Larry Wilson. And
Larry.
That was, yeah, remember Larry?
Oh, yes.
And if you remember, of course, and we also had the satellite studio in the Bond Theater building down in Greenville. And you had a good relationship, I know, with some of the different people who were down there. Of course, we had, oh, my goodness. I want to say it was Dennis Cannon. You remember Dennis Boom Boom Cannon was down there?
No, but I remember was there an Alan? And
yes, Alan Gaffner. Alan Gaffner.
And then Melody Daka.
Yes, and, that's right.
Oh, her dad was the Shipman Fire Department chief. I'm sorry. Debbie Berge.
Okay,
she was
right,
down there
right.
For a while.
Yes. Yeah. Now you were talking about some. Now mentioned Debbie and the Melody. I think they were maybe there after I left, which would have been 1983, perhaps. What I wanted to ask you, what years were you?
John, because I have that in one of my, I have a day planner, and I have it, John Marty's last day. It's September 30th, 1983.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. Oh, yes. I had
these day planners are so well. They're fun to look back on now. My earliest one that I kept is 1982, and on here December 9th, 1981, we did the grand opening of McDonald's in Carlinville.
Oh,
it was
my goodness!
10:30 in the morning. And then, it's also 1982. Dick Durbin and Paul Simon were in Carlinville from 7 to 9. And then we have Dick Durbin at Fazio's. Remember Fazio's in Bunnell?
I sure do. I sure do.
And then
that
he was elected that year and served 83 to, till time immemorial.
Right. That's true. In 1982, Dick Durbin and I campaigned together a lot when I ran for state representative against Mrs. Oblinger. And that's when Dick Durbin beat Paul Findlay.
Paul Findlay. That's who he beat. Oh, yes. Well, and I still have my I Like John Marty button.
You still do, right? I had a Facebook memory pop up today from 6 years ago that I had a picture of that button. I've still got one somewhere. You've still got one. There's, I think Mike Niehaus still has one. There's a few of them out and about.
Well, and I still like John Marty.
Well, bless your heart. I appreciate that. So the move to Carlisle after being in Macoupin County all these years, how are you adjusting to that?
Oh, we are loving it. We live in the country now. We're country folk.
I say.
We've had, probably 45 to 50 hummingbirds this summer.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to do chickens next in the spring. I think I'm going to start my little chicken coop. And Mike's deer hunting. And he's going to turkey hunt. We're going to have a big garden next year. But, you know, we're right on the fringe, John. I can get WSMI where we live. But when I'm in the car and I drive south farther, I can't pick it up that well.
Yeah, those days of... Bless you. Those days of getting it a long ways away, have the FCC's taken that away from us with all the translators. It's been
boo.
Very difficult. Yes, boo is right. That is for sure. We got more to talk about. Will you bear with me? We'll come back after just a couple of messages here.
Yes, yes.
Olga, one of the things that I wanted to mention to you, obviously, going back to talking about the fairgrounds a little bit, you got a chance, there was a period of time there when the Macoupin County Fair was bringing in big country acts year after year, and I know that you got to see some of those folks. Did you get to meet a few of them?
Oh, lots of them.
I thought so.
It started with... Billy Crash Craddock.
Oh, yes. Yes.
He, Helen and Charlie Perrings were in charge of the entertainment for the fair. And the day before, the entertainment used to be on Friday of fair week. And they told me on Thursday, well, you know, Billy's out at the Carlinville Country Club at the bottle shop. Go out there and you can do an interview. So I did, and came back to the fairgrounds. And at the end of the interview, let me back up. I interviewed him, and at the end of the interview, he gave me a big old kiss right on the lip.
I'm not surprised.
So I'm like, whoa. And so then I go back to the fairgrounds and I play the interview, and then I had told John Jatko, who was on the board, that Billy Crash Craddock had kissed me. And so he brought that up, of course, and he started calling me Loose Lips.
Oh, my.
That was my first interview, and that was probably the most exciting.
Billy Crash Craddock. Billy didn't kiss me, but I went to see him. He was at the Carlin Villa Motel, sitting out by the pool, and I went over there to visit with him for a few minutes. And I don't know why, but that particular day, I was wearing I used to call it my ice cream suit. It was an off-white suit. I had a blue shirt, a rep tie, and a white suit. Why I was dressed to the nines, I don't know, but I was. And I interviewed him, and he kept talking about it. He says, man, that is a good-looking suit. And when we got done, I stood up, he stood up, and he come over. I thought he was going to shake my hand. He picked me up and threw me in the pool in that white suit. I said, well, gee, thanks, Billy. I'm glad you let me put my electronic equipment that was all plugged in down before you threw me in the water.
He was a character, wasn't he?
Oh, he was. He was. And that is my one and only live country music star interview, I think, for a long time. I wasn't going to do any more.
Than a kiss.
I'll tell you. So, now, I understand that Garth Brooks played at the Macoupin County Fair. Was that
yes,
when you were there?
Yes, he did. And we had Alan Jackson, Louise Mandrell, Cole Meyer's daughter.
Oh, Loretta Lynn, of course.
Yes, thank you. Oh, we had Boxcar Willie. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. And later on, all those people were staying at the Holiday Inn there in Carlinville, you know, on I-55. And all those pictures are still up. So every time when I was doing karaoke at the Magnuson now, and before that, of course, the Holiday Inn and the Best Western, every time I would go out there and do a show on my way to the restaurant, all those pictures of all those people up in that hallway, and I'd always think of, yep, of you or Brad or whoever it happened to be and all those great interviews.
Oh, yes. I've seen those, too, and they do bring back so many good memories.
When you
those
were
people,
doing... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying, now the Macoupin County Fair, well, all county fairs are having trouble financially, and the base building isn't as full as it used to be, but those people still work very hard to put that fair on, and we need to support them. That's our county. That's our fair.
Oh, yeah, that is true. And this year, with literally nobody having any fairs, the money woes are going to be continuing next year because not much in the kitty going forward, for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's very sad. Everything changes, doesn't it, John?
Everything does change, that's for sure. Just like you talk about people walk into the studio and say, where are the records? They can walk into the studio, you know, at the main building now and say, where are the records? Well, we don't play records anymore.
No, I don't even think I could... I used to sign on Sunday morning. Terry Tote let me earn a little extra money by signing on Sunday morning. And I could never, we still had records back then, but I could never reach the good ones on top. So I pretty much played the albums from down below. But
oh,
I
understand.
What's the board now?
Well, you know, it's the board is pretty much, they still operate the same way. It's just really... You use your fingers and hit the touch screen to play the music. And in that regard, it's easier because you don't have to cue a record. You don't have to search for it. And if you forget to get one ready, it's not that big a deal because you just reach up and punch something. You know, it's easier today. But
I'd like
but
to
of course,
see that sometime.
Oh, yeah. Of course, I'm outside today because the weather is nice. I've been doing the show literally all summer outside on my patio in a gazebo, and that has been the most fun for me. And a lot of times I can sit and say, well, I don't care if I get back to the station or not, but I do miss the social aspect because I don't see anybody, you know.
And, you know, that was one part of the satellite studio effect. You're there, it's you and one or two salespeople. And I heard you guys on the radio and I talked to you on the telephone every day, but I never got to interact with you every day.
Yeah, that's true.
But it works. And that's another thing. Hayward had that worked out perfectly. You could do the news from Litchfield. One person could do it. He could make calls to Bond County or to Macoupin. But it's not the same as having a living person there to represent the studio. Macoupin's a big county. Bond's a big county. you got to have somebody there.
Yeah, that is most definitely the case, for sure.
Hey, good job there.
Yeah, you know, we're celebrating 70 years, and that's, of course, one of the reasons why I wanted to visit with you. Although I've been wanting to visit with you for years since I came back, and I never got the chance. But, you know, a lot of us, I tell people every day that I'm 25 on the radio. That's how I feel, but I'm not. You know, I'm as old as the radio station. I don't feel it, but I am as old as the radio station. It's been around for 70 years. I know, but I wasn't going to bring that up.
Oh, hey, I'm glad. I am so glad to have been around as long. And I wanted to say one thing. I do listen to your show, and you've still got that 25-year-old excitement of when you first get into radio, you're like, oh, I love this. And I can tell the work that you put into your show, your Hollywood news, and
the
songs that you do, you've got that excitement, John, and it really shows. I love your show.
Well, thank you. I was away from it for 30-some years, and I always said if I ever got back, and I would be allowed to do it, I would have fun again, but hopefully do something that would make people also have fun. So that's why we do what we do. And just like today, or starting on Monday, playing the songs from every year since the station went on the air, today we're doing 1952. You don't hear those anywhere else, and I thought, well, why not? Let's do it. So it's
that
only a few
right.
of them. It's only a few of them. I do 8 or 10 songs a shift, you know. So if I do that and I play the Mills Brothers or I play Joe Stafford, Les Paul and Mary Ford, makes me think of Russ Pence all these days.
Yes. Oh, yes. You know, and the sounds of the big Jim Sidis, the big bands on
Sidis. Oh, yes. That yes, Jim had a wonderful show. And Jim did that. You know, he gave up every Sunday for I don't know how many years Jim did it, but oh, it was fabulous. And
yes.
I mean, he kept that music alive.
Yes, he did. It was, you couldn't hear that anyplace else. Either
did
in
you,
Illinois.
Oh, you bet. Did you ever at any point after you left say, oh man, I wish I would have not? Or I'd love to go back and do it again for even just 2 or 3 years. Did you ever feel that way, or did it pass?
I did feel that way. Everybody, you know, you want to make more money. You want to try something different. You get burned out of doing the same thing day after day. But this, well, you mentioned the Mills Brothers. And I went to Lewis and Clark, like a lot of people that have worked at WSMI did. I graduated in 78, and one of my instructors was Ed Palin.
Oh, yeah.
And he had been around in the golden age of radio, and he knew the Mills Brothers. They sang. He worked at WLS. Yeah, I'm ready to say WSMI every time I say
I understand. I understand.
He worked at WLS in Chicago when the Mills Brothers were there. And also when Herb Morrison brought in his Hindenburg disaster tape and played it for the first time. And then, oh, the humanity is crashing and burning. And he just got you so excited about radio and wanting to be part of it. So, it's in you. You want to do that. You never want to stop.
No, but, that is true. And you mentioned Lewis and Clark. You think about it. We had Pete Baum, of course. We had Tom Williams. We had you. We had... Rita, of course. Kathy Norris, yes.
Oh,
and
Dwight Brockman.
And Dwight. and even Sean Ballant, who does news for us now, you know, went to Lewis and Clark. So
yeah,
all these people, there's no question about it. And, you know, to this day, they were a junior college before the community college system came along. And they, you know, they have a castle for Old Main. It's beautiful down there.
It is. And they let you do the work. I mean, from your very first day of school, you are in radio. You may not know anything, but they put you on the air.
That's right. That's right. You remember what your first show or your first newscast was like when you got on the air
goodness.
First time at Lewis and Clark?
Well, actually, I really enjoyed it because I could rip and read, as we say. They had the teletype, UPI, AP, and I used to be jealous of Larry Wilson because he could do that. And in Macoupin County, sometimes there wasn't a lot going on. I never got my Hindenburg moment, John.
No kidding.
I had a dog in a drainage ditch or somebody's cattle or loose on 108.
Yeah, that's
over
true.
Over humanity.
Hey, but that dog in a drainage ditch, that was a big deal for the owner of the dog, you know that.
Well, and for Mount Olive Police, because it showed how caring they were and how they worked hard to get that dog out. And that's local news for you.
Boy, it sure is. It sure is. We still get it a fair amount from our friend Roger Cradiville down in Mount Olive. And I'll bet you, when you were doing the news, you were dealing with Roger then, weren't you?
I was. And then when I went to my other job at Macoupin County Housing Authority, he was on the, well, he may still be on the Board of Commissioners. Oh, yes, he is a great guy.
Oh, yeah, that's for sure. You have been just an absolute treasure to visit with today. I thank you so much for taking the time.
I've got to say, I really enjoy the fact that I can steal your fairy coat on the air.
Yeah.
Thanks for doing that.
Oh, you bet. You know, there was long conversations with Terry. And then with Brenda later, you know, and Terry had originally, during the time he was really suffering, the last year, you know, he was saying, I don't know if I want my voice to be heard after I'm gone. And there were so many who said, Terry, we don't want to lose you. And so he finally, at one particular point, a few months before he passed, he said, no, it's okay. You can keep on doing it. And we still do, at least, you know, he's still on a Prairie Farms commercial or two. He's still on the ID. He lets you know what radio station you're listening to at the top of every hour. And that'll go on for a long time, for sure.
Oh, good. I love it.
Olga, thanks for visiting today. It has been my pleasure. And I hope we don't have to wait 70 years to do it again. Maybe we'll do it in 5. Maybe we'll do it in 1 or 2. And if you ever get a chance to get up here, stop by.
Thank you, John. I'm probably going to have nightmares tonight reliving all this.
Oh, I hope not. Have a great day, and thanks again, and God bless you, and have a great rest of your retired life, okay?
Thank you, John.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.